Okay, my first question, In-N-Out or Five Guys?
Ooh, In-N-Out all day, baby.
Tell me why.
In-N-Out because it's a little quicker. I actually like the fries. Not everybody does. And the grilled onions.
That's a game changer. Yeah.
Fire on the In-N-Out burgers.
Do you do Chili's? I love the Chili's on mine.
I'm not a big Chili's guy, but I do love Chili's, the restaurant chips and salsa.
Those are good.
Let's
go.
Welcome to Season 3 of 10 Questions with 10 Pastors. Brought to you by Gateway Seminary. With your host, Tyler Sanders. This episode was recorded live at the 2023 SPC Annual Meeting.
Okay, I'm here with Hayden Ratner. He is the pastor and planter of Walk Church in Las Vegas, Nevada.
That's right.
Also a Sin City missionary. So that would be in Vegas, I guess, right? Can you tell me a little bit about what you do with there?
Yeah, so I work with the Send Network, the church planning organization with the North American Mission Board. And so anybody that is interested in church planning in Las Vegas, Nevada, I get to know about it and try to help them take their next step, whether that's assessment, being endorsed by the Send Network, coaching, care, training, partnership, being a part of a family in a city, not just a part of an organization that's somewhere that has to do with getting a check. No, you're part of something, a family. It's bigger than just you trying to plant a church. You're part of a family. And so my job is to really help people feel that and to take their next step.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And to recruit new people from all around the world and the country to consider partnering and planting in Vegas. So if you're listening to this, I got to just shoot my shot.
No, do it. Yeah, tell us.
And you're thinking about planting, think about planting in Vegas.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk with you about it.
Well, how can they contact you?
Yeah, you can contact me at my email, hratner, H-R-A-T-N-E-R, @nam.net. And we'd love to hit you back, follow up. Let's do it. Take a next step.
That's awesome. Now, why don't you tell us how you became a Christian?
So I became a Christian. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but grew up as a basketball idolater. I loved the sports world and grew up playing basketball, going to games. Went to James Madison University in Virginia.
Yeah.
Got invited to FCA, Fellowship Christian Athletes. And from there, I began asking questions. What do I believe? You know, kind of showed up to get the free pizza, and God just began using that to spark my curiosity about faith. I always believed in God, my dad being Jewish, my mom more of a Christian background.
Yeah.
But I didn't quite know what I believed.
Yeah.
So I began pursuing faith in the Bible. Someone gave me a word and opened up to the Gospel of Matthew. And really just by reading one chapter a day, I landed in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23. And I felt like the Holy Spirit brought me into that chunk of scripture, and I could hear Jesus tell me, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And I didn't want that to be my testimony.
Yeah.
And what's also really challenging about that block there is it says many will come to me and say, didn't I cast out demons, prophesy, do miracles?
Right.
And I realized that if these people aren't getting in, you know, and they got this like resume of activity, I'm for sure, like all I did was show up to FCA. Like, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
And I realized the primary calling on my life wasn't to do something for Jesus, but a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
I never knew you like that. And so I just said, right there as a freshman in college, I'm going to just start getting to know Christ. That's going to be my sole goal. My mission is to know him. And from there, everything has came out of that knowing.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What are you reading right now?
Right now, I'm reading Lead Like It Matters. It's a book by Craig Rochelle.
Okay.
It's a leadership book, and he's talking about this phrase, it. How do you have the it? How do you know when you can find the it, get the it, develop the it. And so it's a great leadership book that has been challenging me in my walk recently.
That's good. That's good. I got a couple of preaching questions for you.
Let's do it.
So big picture, like how do you approach planning out series, big themes? What's your thinking process on that?
That's good. So I would be a combination of expository and topical in my preaching style and calendar. Lean more expository as far as when it comes to just preaching through a book. Like right now we're in the book of Galatians. We just finished up chapter 2, and we've spent the last several months working through chapter 1 and chapter 2. We're probably 15 plus sermons in the first two chapters.
Yeah.
And so we're just we're not set. There's no timeline necessarily. It's saying we hit the next chunk of verses. If we don't get through it, we'll pick it up next week.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So we're preaching through Galatians and just taking it one verse at a time, either chunk of verses at a time, staying in context. And that's been good. But now we're going to take a quick break during the summer and do a topical series.
Yeah, sure.
That's more like kind of week to week with like a specific verse or with the summer set list. So what's a song that relates to a scripture and we'll preach out of that? We'll do something that's geared around Christmas, or we'll do something let's focus on the Easter season. So I think the calendar kind of sets you up for some things, just the year by year calendar. But my leaning is we just, you know, go through books of the Bible and preach through them.
Yeah.
Point to Jesus through them.
Now, what's your like week to week routine like? How do you do in sermon prep?
Yeah. So I like to, with a more of an expositional approach, I know pretty close to where I'm going. So after we finished Galatians 2, 14, I knew I was going to hit 15 through 18. So I'm reading it. I got a handful of commentaries that I'm reading through it with.
Yeah.
We have a team of pastors that I'm bouncing ideas off with kind of throughout the week. But as of late, this has changed throughout the years. As of late, I'm putting the strong work of my sermon in typically on Fridays.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have like a kind of a rolling note in my phone where I'm typing down ideas, illustrations. I got a Word doc that's like developed, but it's sporadic.
Yeah.
On Friday, I feel like it's all ready to just get thrown on an actual, like, here's what I'm going to preach.
Yeah.
Points, title, closing, intro, you know, I throw all that together, but whereas before I was trying to get that done earlier in the week, I felt like I didn't have what I needed.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
And I think I'm a more like thought through. I'm always dreaming and visualizing. Something might just hit me right now, and I might have to put that in my phone for when I'm ready to put it down.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what's been working as of late. We've had a teaching team in our church, which look like different people that are passionate about the word, preaching, communicating. Yeah. Currently in this season, that team is not functioning right now as far as we're not meeting on a weekly basis like we were. But we're looking to get back to it.
That's cool. Yeah. And so in that situation, are you guys reading each other's work? Or are you kind of helping guide each other along? Or is it more like she's just sharing the load and kind of splitting it up?
Yeah, that looks like we come into that meeting. It's about an hour long. Mm-hmm. And we know the text. We read the text. And one of our pastors, Pastor Mike, who's just a beast with the theology and the Greek and the Hebrew, he's going to kind of set the context, the setting for the text. He's going to say, hey, here's the author. Here's what's going on in this moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here's some big ideas, big thought. Now let's talk about how do you preach that?
Yeah.
How do you not just teach that, but how can you make that, you know, tasteful and encourage? Yeah. How do you preach the word and the lost person actually lean in and get something out of it?
Yeah.
And how do you find Jesus? And I think every text should, I think Spurgeon, right, should make a beeline to the cross.
Right.
And want to get there.
Yeah. What do you think is the most difficult or challenging passage you've preached on?
Ooh, most difficult and challenging passage. You know, man, this may sound cliche, but we did a topical series a few years back, and we just called it Tough Questions. We opened it up to our church. We put a number on the screen that you could text your questions in. We said, whatever questions get the most asked, we'll preach off of them.
So are you doing this kind of live, or like you'd get questions and we'll say, do it like a week later or something?
Text this number.
Yeah.
And next week we're going to let you know which questions get asked the most.
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions about homosexuality, same-sex attraction, same-sex marriage, just that topic in general, and forced us in a way to address the questions that were being asked. And so I remember preaching a sermon, you know, we use this phrase, what does the Bible say about?
Yeah.
And so did a sermon, what does the Bible say about homosexuality?
Yeah.
And I remember just putting the work in, the study in, and hearing a lot of great response to that, people needed some clarity.
Yeah.
And to try to approach that topic from a pastoral position, but really that's grounded in the word, not in the culture.
Yeah.
Has been helpful, but it wasn't easy. It was a hard sermon to deliver, but grateful we did.
Yeah. Now, church planners have to do a lot of different things in ministry.
Yeah.
What would you say is like a role that you're really comfortable with, you feel particularly gifted in, and maybe what's like a role or responsibility that you're a little like less comfortable in, something you're kind of working on still?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, I feel very, like I'm wired very relational.
Hmm.
So I'm not a big office-y guy, although I know the value of sitting down, meetings, whiteboards, Excel spreadsheets, vision, strategy. There's value in it. It's necessary. It's just not my strong suit. I'm more relational, disciple making in the city, engaging with lost people, trying to help people take their next step on the ground. That for me is life-giving. I'm extroverted. If I'm around people, I'm excited. And I have an eye for the person who is a little bit detached, a conversationalist. You know, I want to try to find common ground and spark interest. And I'm passionate about walking with people. So I think that's, and I think as a church planter, you need that.
You
can plant a church if you don't have that, but you better have people around you that do. Or else it's going to be hard to gather people. Especially in predominantly lost cities. Where people aren't going to church culturally. But I think on the flip side, the administrative component, I've had to surround myself with people that were better than me when it came to
doing
the work of administration. That's super necessary. Because if you get somebody to go to church and they make a decision to receive Christ and they hand in a connection card and you fumble it.
And that's huge.
You're like, all right, well, what the heck, man? Like, you know, you need both. You need the person that's going to follow up and email and call and get them a Bible, you know.
So absolutely.
We've had to learn over the seasons the value of all of it. Holistic discipleship.
Can you tell me like a swing and a miss you've had in ministry?
Yeah, I think my biggest swing and a miss has been running at a pace that was not in a way that my wife was able to keep up at. And therefore, I'm not able to keep up at. And I think if we really have this oneness reality, which the two become one, right, in marriage, praise God, you know, it's more of the pace we need to run at. What's helpful for her is what's helpful for me. What's helpful for me is what's helpful for her. And so I think there's been seasons where maybe that's been more secondary for me. Or, hey, she'll catch up. And that doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? I think that that creates burnout. That creates unhealth. And I think there's been pockets throughout our 8 years of planting where either I ran ahead and she had good wisdom and said, hey, slow down. It could be with hiring somebody. It could be with a dream, a vision. Hey, let's do this. Let's go toward this building. Let's spend, you know, it could be any of that. And there are sometimes I'll be like, hey, so Nina, we did this. It's like, oh man, I would have loved to have spoken into that, been part of that. Did you consider my pace? And I don't say that in a way that's negative. I say that in a way that her input would actually have saved us a lot of hurt, frustration. It would have been, it would have strengthened our marriage, strengthened our leadership decisions. My wife's incredibly gifted. She's wise. She's part of our executive leadership team. And so I just think that's been some swings and misses on my part, to just not be, not being aware. I think that's key. Like, awareness is key. Like, are you aware of the pace that you're running at together?
Now, I usually ask this before we record and I forgot to. Did you go to seminary?
I did, so I went to Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.
That's awesome.
Mouthful there.
It is, there's a lot more syllables than that.
Well, I said Southeastern to somebody recently, and they were like, oh, like the Southeastern over here? And I'm like, oh, no, we're talking about a different Southeastern, you know, so I had to say the whole thing.
So this question is about seminary, and it's what do you, really the way to put this is like if a person goes to seminary, what's the like the one thing they can't miss? Like, what's that thing that if they leave and they don't have it, they've really, they missed something valuable?
Well, I think that when you go to seminary, Danny Akin helped speak this into me when I was attending, and that's, how do you live out the great commandment to love the Lord your God with all your mind? You know, and that's one of the things seminaries, I think, wherever seminary you go to, whether it's Gateway or a Southeastern, whatever,
yeah,
hopefully it's helping you love God better with all your mind.
Yeah.
And I tried to approach it like that. Not only that, but I think there's some theological items that if we're honest, there's still probably some theological items that we're gray on or that could use some developing.
Yeah.
And I think what seminary did for me was help me kind of put some stakes in the ground. Like, okay, now I really know what I believe. This forced me to kind of chisel off some of the fat.
Yeah.
Of some tough biblical topics.
Sure. Yeah.
That I probably wouldn't have did the work to figure out what do I really believe on this topic. I'll figure it out someday.
Right. Right.
I think seminary, you know, kind of nudges you to
establish those
give
things.
Give you a stance.
Yeah.
And then you can actually be confident in it.
Yeah. 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 All right, my last question. If you could tell Hayden Ratner, first year of ministry, something, some piece of advice, what would it be?
Ooh. Tell Hayden Ratner, first year in ministry, I would say to him, similar to what I just shared, enjoy the process with your wife. It's going to be all right. You're not going to figure it out tomorrow.
Mm.
You got, what, how many Sundays in a year? 52?
52, yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You had an L, get back up the next week. Make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Slow down. Don't speed up. You'll get there.
Yeah.
You know, and I think in part B, if I could
say, sure,
hey,
of course,
hey, Hayden, can I give you 10 more seconds?
Yeah.
Is just when it comes to hiring people
or
bringing people on your team.
Yeah.
Look less for skill and talent and look more for culture and personality fit.
Yeah.
And I think that we've learned over the years, because when you start, you don't know what you don't know. It's oh man, this person's dope. They can X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I know they don't really fit.
Yeah.
But we'll figure that out. You don't figure that out.
Yeah.
What you can figure out is how to teach somebody how to do ProPresenter.
You can teach
somebody how to play something.
Yeah.
But culturally, man, that's such a big deal. And so I've really learned that whole quote from Peter Drucker, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah.
Like, man, this would be very strategic to get this person, but their culture isn't the same.
Yeah.
And so I think look more for culture. Look more for personality and values. Look less for talent and skills.
Yeah.
That would have been great for me to hear before we started.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, that's all my questions, but I do want to give you one more opportunity to tell people how to contact you.
Awesome.
Because
man,
we definitely want to get more church planters out here in the West, specifically in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and we love planting churches out of Walk Church. We've partnered with 10 churches. We've planted 2. And one of our plants is getting ready to plant. So we're going to be a grandparent church.
That's
Come
awesome.
On.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. If you could email me, Hayden, HEIDEN at walkchurch, WALK, walkchurch.com. Email me at Hayden at walkchurch.com. Or if you want to know more about Send Network, HRatner@nam.net. We'd love to follow up with you. Either of those. You can find me on our website, walkchurch.com as well. And yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep getting better.
That's perfect. Hayden, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Praise God.